Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 24th, 2015. And with me today, I have my local rabble rouser, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
John, the pro Martellaro. Excellent. Good morning.
I'm going to go with rabble rouser today, but you can say pro, whatever. It's good to have you here. Also, really good to have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good.
Awesome. And it's great to have both of you here. Now, I wanted to have both of you here today because you are each on opposite ends of the Mac Pro spectrum right now. And John Keat wrote an editorial yesterday where he says the Mac Pro is I don't want to say a failure. How about a disappointment?
Well, he said, you were quoting his title. He called it a failure.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, you're right. He did call it a failure in the title. And
he made the case for it in the piece.
Yes, he did. And I was trying to... I was trying to put kid gloves on it, and I guess I shouldn't.
Why? Why would you do that?
Just to kind of ease our listeners into it.
I see.
But hey, too late, Brian. Thanks. Anyhow, you, Brian, have one of the older style Mac Pros, so the cheese grater style. And John, you have the newer Mac Pro, which is the trash can style.
Yes.
And I thought maybe we should kind of dig into John Keat's piece a little bit, because he makes a pretty strong case for the Mac Pro being a failure, and I want to know what you guys think.
Brian, can I start?
Please.
I've been thinking about this for a long time, and John got me further thinking about the situation. And I've written about this and expressed some concern about the delay in upgrading the product and Apple's commitment to the product. What struck me about John's article was the concern amongst the professional community. And there's always going to be people who are not happy with an Apple product or want to make it work their way, or they have a different vision than what Apple's vision is.
Agreed.
And so I started thinking about John's article, and it, with the focus there, while valid, and I do have these concerns, seemed to focus on the demands and the needs of certain professional users whose needs aren't being met. And they want Apple to meet those needs. And Apple has chosen perhaps a different path. And so I started immediately thinking about my reaction, since I own one. It's the lowest, cheapest one you can get. It's all I could afford after a discount. And I've been very pleased with my Mac Pro over the last 18 months. I was able to get one in the summer of 2014, finally. It has lots of ports. It sits nicely on my desktop behind the display. It's fast. It runs cool. It's been a joy to use. And as a writer and Mac professional, I found it fun and fast and easy to use and meets my needs. And I haven't had a whole lot of complaints about it. The complaints that I would have are that in a product where you get enthusiastic about it, you'd like to see Apple maintain some consistency and focus and energy in a great product. And that's where you start having moments of pause.
All right, John, so the big question that I have for you is, if you did not have the Mac Pro already, would you buy the computer you have today?
Now, wait a minute. I'm not quite sure what you mean. You mean, would I buy a Mac Pro today off the shelf if I didn't have one?
Yes.
That's a good question. I was eager to get one when it first came out, and because of production delays, I couldn't get one until summer 2014. I don't think I would buy one right now, knowing that something's going to happen. Either Apple's going to discontinue it, or they're going to make a big upgrade to it.
Yeah, and I see this as part of the problem.
Yeah, it is.
It hasn't been upgraded for quite a while now. What, 2 years?
2 years. 2.5 years, actually, since it was announced.
Yeah.
2 years since it actually shipped.
Well, the bigger question in my mind is, how many people are there who didn't get one when they wanted one and needed one in 2014, but are thinking about buying one now. I think because the machine is fairly powerful, although I've read that the latest 5K iMac is a little bit faster on high-end i7. The real question is, if Apple updated, it came out with the latest and greatest Xeon processors and upgraded the innards, relax some of the constraints, would I replace my current one? And the answer is no. It's fine.
No,
of
course.
It's great.
Of course you wouldn't. But let me take a step back, John. For one thing, you and I've been a pro user. I've had towers for my desktop machine for all of the times.
Yes.
And you've also had pro machines, right?
Yeah, I had a PowerMac G5, which I sold, and then I bought a 2009 Mac Pro.
Yep. I'm with you here. So exactly how many 5K videos are you rendering in a week?
Zero.
Okay. Exactly how much Mathematica, how many Mathematica runs are you doing in a week?
Or general relativity black hole calculations like Dr. Khanna, who has a Mac Pro. No, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had a tower, and the reality is, I'm actually, this week I'm going to be ordering a new iMac, a 5K iMac, for what that's worth.
Nice.
My first iMac is my primary machine.
I think you're going to love it.
I'm sure I'm going to love that display is what I'm going to love. I would, despite all my kvetching, I would get a Mac Pro. Well, I don't know, actually, it really does bother me to get a two-year-old machine new. That really, really bothers me. But taking that out of it, I love the Mac Pro format, but I don't need a Mac Pro. And you don't need one either, John.
Well, I do, because I'm a power user and I hate waiting for anything.
Yeah,
and I hate spinning beach balls, and I want everything to happen.
Really. You and I would be just fine on iMacs, and I don't think I'm projecting there.
I don't think you're projecting either.
Well, I used a 2010 iMac for 4 years. Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. Now, I used Mac towers all the way up to the point where I could reasonably switch to a MacBook Pro. Well, at the time, a PowerBook as my primary machine. And then I've been a mobile computer ever since. And if I were to buy a desktop Mac today, I would buy exactly what you're getting, Brian, the 5K iMac.
John's piece in particular was really talking about actual pro users, be it creative professionals, be it math and science heavy math and science users, be it the heavy video editors, etc. And for that class of user, I also think that the Mac Pro is a failure.
I'm inclined to agree with you. My feeling is, on the pro side, if you need to get a new computer today, and the iMac 5K does not meet your needs, this is going to sound horrible, you need to look at an HP Z workstation.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be the case.
Exactly.
No.
I think there's some psychology involved, Jeff. I mean, you know, we love Apple. We love their products. They're beautifully designed. They're well-made. And we have that wishful expectation that Apple would meet our needs as a professional. So we want slots, and we want expansion, and we want this, and we want that. And we want Apple to be our savior, and we want Apple to make the pro machine in our image that we want. And when they didn't do it, we're disappointed. And Apple goes along a different path.
Well, I will hone that in a little bit further, because the Mac Pro, the trash can Mac Pro, is this gorgeous piece of machinery that only looks gorgeous when it is not being used. Because when you're using it, it's got a tangle of wires and whatnot coming out of it.
Which you saw when you were in my office last summer.
Yeah.
It's kind of a mess.
It is kind of a mess. And it can't be anything other than a mess. So it's this glorious looking piece of machinery that only looks glorious when it's not being used. And that, to me, is putting form over function.
no computer looks good. You know, there's no company on the planet who doesn't display their products without the power cord. When I look at Apple Watch charging docks, you never see the cord. When you look at this, Apple displays are always with wireless keyboard and wireless mouse. It's a marketing thing to make the things look beautiful.
Yeah, but everybody
knows there's going to be wires on your Mac when you start using
it. Yeah, but this looks ugly with the wires.
This is actually, it's completely impractical even. Of course you're going to display something in its most optimal state, but this particular product was designed to look gorgeous in a way that it cannot look gorgeous when it's being used. Whereas the other things that you just mentioned, you could actually, there are plenty of people who could use their machines in the way that it's being displayed.
Well, one of the reasons that happens is because it conveniently sits on your desktop. In the old days, you'd have a Mac Pro. I had a Mac Pro 2009 model on one of those dollies that's a little holder with sides and wheels, and you set it under the desk, and all the wires are on the floor, and it's out of sight, out of mind. So there is really no compromise if you're going to have it on your desktop, and it's going to be small and cute.
Yeah. I don't particularly need small and cute. And another point that John made was about longevity. And that's one of the things, like, okay, I get that the vast majority of people don't actually use slots, right? You know, it used to be, do you remember, go back 10, 15 years. And it's like, well, I got to have slots.
Yeah.
Well, what did you need the slots for home users? What did you need the slots for? Well, Ethernet? Well, the iMac had it. Got a modem? Well, the iMac's got one built in. You know, Wi-Fi card, iMac, everything that people were using slots for in PCs, iMacs had them built in, and I get that. Mm-hmm. But I look at the way that I've used slots in my Mac Pro, and it's always been to add things that my Mac Pro didn't come with.
Right. Sure.
You know, better USB. Like John really wants, of course, you know, John definitely is sort of projecting his own little esoteric needs here.
John Keat.
John Keat, correct. And, but you know, he wants to be able to add, a storage. I mean, like, you know, 1 terabyte of one terabyte of storage on a Mac Pro is ridiculous.
It is a lot of storage.
It's not a lot of storage.
It's a lot of storage. Up until the point you decide, okay, I need to start rendering serious video.
Not for pro users. For pro users, 1 terabyte is nothing.
So, all right. So, I think we're looking at this in different perspective. I'm looking at it as the base hard drive. 1 terabyte is reasonable, but on a pro machine, you never have just the base hard drive. You always have your other drives to give you all the extra storage.
Well, I don't even think 1 terabyte as your base. And it's also, by the way, that's the top option.
Yeah, now that's a problem. Your base hard drive on a pro level machine, if the top option is 1 terabyte, that's limited.
Well, you're probably using a RAID at that point, external RAID.
Well, yeah. Well, my assumption is that pro users that have a lot of video and audio, photos, whatever that they need to work with, they have some sort of RAID or at least a stack of external hard drives. But then that takes us back to the problem that you have with the Mac Pro, which is that can't be put inside the machine.
Nope.
And I bet that's where you were going, Brian.
This machine was envisioned as this glorious product, and it is as long as you don't want to use it, and I have a problem with that.
I have gotten great use out of it, and I think Apple is very focused. They can't
but
be
you're
all
not a
things,
pro user, man.
They can't be all things to all people. Apple well knows that if you're
but you're
a serious,
not a pro user, John. That's the thing. I would be just as fine as you.
If you're a serious pro user, you go out and get a Linux box, and it's like Jeff said, a Z workstation. You have 256 gigabytes of working RAM, and you have a gloriously fast 16-processor machine, and you put it to work as an industrial tool for your trade, and you configure it, and you put Linux on it.
So
if you're a Mac user, and you want a machine that sits on the desk, and it's fast, and it can, and you can replace the display You're not locked into an iMac configuration. And you want something that's cool and fast and has a lot of ports, and you're not a pro user, but it's got pro capabilities.
I don't know what
pro
users.
Then it's a good machine.
Well, I'm
semi-pro.
I'm not sure why you're lumping all pro users into being able to even go with Linux. You know, Apple's creative pros have been one of the mainstays of Apple's business for decades.
Yeah, I know.
Right. And that's, you can't run InDesign, Photoshop, and Illustrator.
Yeah, the math stuff. Yeah, the science stuff. I'm right there with you. Yeah. But when it comes to like all the design stuff, in particular, when it comes to using Final Cut Pro, when it comes to using Logic or you know, Pro Tools or any of the Avid stuff, any of Adobe stuff, you need to be on Windows or the Mac. And it turns out that Mac creative professionals do tend to prefer the Mac. So just, you know, blithely saying, well, they can just, you know, let them eat Linux. I'm shocked to hear you say that.
Brian, you are a burr in my cognitive fabric.
I know. It's how I roll, brother.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. Okay. So another point that John made in his piece was that Apple seems to be unaware that they are alienating the pro level users by not supporting, essentially, or for practical purposes, the Mac Pro, and not giving us updates, not giving us a machine that they can modify for their specific needs. And actually, I think this is a place where John is wrong. I think Apple is very aware that they are alienating these users, and I think that they're not worried about it.
Yeah, that's probably true. I agree with you on that.
And that's kind of concerning because what does that mean for the future of pro computing?
Well, Apple has no loyalty. This is something we have to remember. Apple, anyone watch John Oliver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know the character Janice in accounting?
Oh, yes, yes.
And do you know precisely what she does not give?
She gives a whole bucket full of zero of them.
Yes, exactly. And about everything, right? Apple does not care about loyalty. Apple has no loyalty to the past whatsoever, and that includes us as fans of the past. This is just a fact. And I agree with you. Apple doesn't care if it's alienating any of its user base. I mean, there's not a lot of money here. Now, John did argue John did argue that the Mac Pro is a halo product, that it's the kind of thing that adds prestige to the lineup, whether or not you make money, similar to, say, you know, a Corvette for GM. Right. GM doesn't make a lot of money on Corvettes, but it has it so that it can go, hey, look at our fancy Corvette. And people
dig the car.
There's some merit to that when it comes to Apple.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if you look at the money Apple makes on the pro market compared to what they're making on the iPhone, it's incredible. But you'd still like to see Apple sort of pay attention to those users and garner favor and update the product.
We were there for Apple. You know, we'd like Apple to be there for us. But, you know, Apple don't give no.
Yeah. Yep, I think you're right. Apple gives precisely zero.
Zero of them, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so we're pretty much out of time.
But if you want a fast Mac and you want to set your own display up and you don't want an iMac, it's a sweet solution.
Any other caveats you want to throw in there, sir?
No, I got my word in. Go ahead, Jeff.
So we are out of time, but right before we wrap up, I'm just curious. Do you guys think Apple has an update planned for the Mac Pro? Or is it just like a one-off product and it's done now?
No, there will be an update.
I think there will be too. It's just going to be later than we had hoped.
I think there will be an update as well. But my expectation is that it will be a disappointing update for the people that have been waiting and waiting and waiting for something really spectacular.
Well, all right. And, you know, it's not like there are that many people.
All 10 of them.
That's the flip side of everything that I'm saying here, is that it's definitely a small addressable market. I want to see that market addressed.
Yeah, it would be great. So, all right. We are definitely out of time. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
You are most welcome, and I will point out that the Cube is the father of the Mac Pro, not the Mac Pro.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to leave us on that. Out the nerve.
Oh, man. But that's how you roll. John, it's good to have you here today also.
My pleasure.
And listeners, thank you for joining me again today. And I'm curious, what do you think about the state of the Mac Pro? Let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be observations. No, that's the email address. TMO Daily is the Twitter account. Observations at MacObserver.com is the email account. And then, of course, also the show notes for today's episode. I will check all those places to hear what you have to say. Thank you for joining me. See everyone again tomorrow.